prices that even 997s are these days. Like, they've creeped into the 40,000 range. I know of some cars that I've driven that drive better than the 911, like the base 911s, but still.
Which car?
Alfa Romeo 4C. It doesn't, like, that is a fantastic driver.
That's a track car. That is not a daily driver.
It's like in the 40s, 50s US.
That thing breaks down. It's going to be 7 months before you can drive it again. I think they're still the best value.
No. No.
You don't think so?
No. Because last week when we talked about older cars versus newer cars, we had two Porsches here. Now we have a Ford GT, but are Porsches overrated for the price? I feel like there's so many other things that you could get. Like, there's so many other things that you could get that are, in my opinion, you get a better experience of driving.
I'm going to need an example.
Okay. Yeah, I am too. I'm really curious where you're going with that.
That's a bold statement you just made.
Yes, yes. Or like, do you rather, for the price that you can get, like, what, like a 997 Porsche these days, would you rather just put that money somewhere else, build a car that would destroy the Porsche in every way?
So, example?
We're all just on the edge of our seat.
We are coming to it. Yes. And so this is going to be a fun one. And so with that said, let us get started.
Okay.
What's been going on? What is happening?
190 little missing goofy parts that are holding that up. We're finally here. RSR parts.
Mm-hmm. Motor mounts for the 190 are done.
The 190 are done.
So that's right. What engine is it?
M113K.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Are we mass producing those or no?
We're going to make them, but we got to make sure they're good before we start selling to people. But yeah, it's been like Christmas here the last week and a half.
Yeah, and then the SWAT truck or the taco truck that we're converting into a SWAT truck, you've been doing a bunch of bumper things on that.
Yeah, I've been, like last week, like it's been big time bumper duty for me. Like it's, you can't really, the bumpers are huge. I mean, this vehicle is huge, it's ginormous. The bumper itself is like 87 inches wide.
It's pretty funny now because it's
probably
the transition. Sorry to cut you off, because it looks hilarious now.
It's so
because it's pink and baby blue, and then now we've started adding our SWAT package to it. So Rob's got the bumpers, we put all the lights, but it's still pink and blue. So now it's like Barbie SWAT.
Yeah, it's so weird looking. Yeah. But yeah, that thing is massive. When you and Tim were carrying the bumper, like trying to like test fit it on the car, I was like, oh my gosh, like it's hard to see the girth of it when it's just on a table. Like when you were assembling it, it was like, oh, it looks big, but not as big as when you
two people are trying to pack it.
Yeah, no, I mean that front bumper is pretty significant, and I have to assume, I estimate it's easily over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just massive.
Yeah,
but it looks the part.
It looks pretty amazing. Oh, my goodness.
It's awesome. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, that's just one of the things that we got going on. I've been working on Skylark more, and, you know, there's just so many things happening right now in the shop. It's.
Can we talk about your whole, Alex doing your whole things? Or
Yeah, we can.
We only work on the Euro, our Lamborghini Sherry Tahoe body swap, on weekends. And Alex, our CAD engineer, has been working on it, chipping away at it every little chance he can get on the weekends. But he's done the roll cage, and now what is he doing? He's doing like the dash.
Yeah, we're working on designing a whole new dash structure for it. I mean, we have a big, beautiful Autometer flat panel LCD four-way camera display monitor as well. A whole
that's
bunch of other things going on.
Carnage.
Yes.
What else
we're
is going on in there?
Carnage cams.
Yeah. We have a whole CAN bus sort of button to control all the lights and everything because, you know, we got hooked up. We got major amount of lighting that's going on it.
Thanks
that's
to Metro Electronics.
Yeah, thank you, Metro.
And up next, Skyjacker helped us out with suspensions.
Yes.
I think we're going to get that probably, I would assume, next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah, so 6-inch suspension lift.
And then another 3-inch body lift, so the Euro is going to get even bigger.
Yeah.
And then,
so
yeah, just starting to make it so we can go play with it.
Yes. So, with that said, we're going to dive into the topic of conversation. Porsches. Are they terrible? No, that's not the topic.
Yo.
Nobody agrees with that.
No, I don't even agree with that. But,
no.
So, Porsches, before we get into the part of are they overrated, first of all, what's you guys' favorite Porsche?
Mine is a 993 Turbo.
Oh, 993. That's I did not expect that.
Mm.
I expected
yeah.
to see something more modern or something.
Like, I already knew what his answer was,
oh.
but, and I always kind of like,
in arena
really?
Red?
Yeah. What generation or what year did they make 993? Like 993-ish?
The 993 was what, 95 to 98?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a 3.6 liter air cooled motor. The turbo was a.
Was that the Metzger
monster.
Engine or no?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. But so what makes that car special to you?
I don't know. I just love it.
Mm.
One of those weird things.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the 993 body style, and there's probably people out there would agree, was a very polarizing departure from their classic body style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they had the same body lines all the way through the 964, which was the predecessor to the 993. And
I love the 964.
The 964 is on my wish list.
Me
not
too.
My favorite one. But it's up there, right? So the 993 was kind of an oddball.
Mm-hmm.
They went really wild. But it was supposed to have been, like, the best driving air-cooled Porsche there was, right?
That was the last one, right?
That was
the
last
air-cooled,
there.
Yeah.
996, first.
Red.
That's a cool color.
It's so sick.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a really nice car.
Yeah.
I like the 997.
Okay.
My favorite would be, ideally, if I could... 997 GT3 RS.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this drool is this such a drooly car. I just want it so bad.
Yeah.
But realistically, it's probably a lot more car than necessary, and sadly, it probably would be unrealistic to own and drive as a daily, or even to track it would
Why?
Be unrealistic.
Why?
Because, like, when you're paying for, like, insurance to go out on your track, on the track day, because of the value of the car, you're paying a major premium.
Mm.
So, maybe just a regular 997, take that out on a track day, because then your premium for insurance is going to be a lot less, and you probably can't drive good enough to really reap the benefits of it.
There's nobody at the table that's
anyways.
Like that.
I know I'm not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I daily drive a 996 Carrera. I absolutely love the car. I adore it in every way, except for I don't really like the interior.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, I mean, it's a gorgeous car. It's super, super nice to drive. I used to drive a 911.
911 SC?
But 911 SC, yeah. I used to have one of those, and it was a really cool car to drive. But the 996 is hands down way, way, way better in every way.
Yeah. You have what Porsche now?
I have a 996 too.
Okay.
My slant.
Yeah.
But before that, I had a Cayman S.
Mm.
Yeah,
which
you had...
is the one that got away.
Yeah. So do you prefer the way the Cayman... Because for you guys that do not know, well, I'm looking at it from some people that might not know a lot about Porsches, but the Caymans are the mid-engine Porsches.
Mid-engine.
So they're like the cheaper... variants of the Porsches, and then you have the 911s that are the full-blown sports. I mean, they're both sports cars, but the 911 is the one that is like the flagship model of the Porsche brand, pretty much. And within the 911 range, there's a bunch of different cars. There's so many.
There's so many.
There's a base model.
So many variations.
S, GTS, what else? A Cabrio,
there's too many.
Targa.
Yeah.
I was looking on the Porsche website the other day, and there are, I think, 20-something versions of the 911. And I always ask myself, like, wait, why do they have so many versions of the same car? Mm-hmm. Because just as a novice of a few years ago, I hadn't driven any Porsches. To me, they all looked mostly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they must be the same. And I'm like, what makes them so special? And so
I think they're all very similar.
Yeah.
The only little subtle differences.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
but
center dump exhaust, dual tips, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I can't remember which one we saw that had like so much stuff on the back.
I saw
it was like a Carrera GT4S. Something. I was like, what?
Yeah, the names are getting too long.
Yeah. I was like, man, this guy just checked all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're pretty cool though.
Yeah.
So I haven't been fortunate enough to experience so many different variants, but from the people that are out there in the world that are like moto journalists and stuff, they say that every single one of them have their own characteristics. And Elvis, in our little group, you're a moto journalist.
I mean, I wouldn't really call myself a moto journalist.
No, but you are, because you have your channel, The Golden Drive, and
yes,
you do.
I can subscribe.
You do go out, and you get a chance to drive a lot of really amazing cars. So tell us a little bit about your experiences with the 911 or Porsche.
Yeah.
And all the different sort of variants that you've driven.
Ooh. So, like I said, like my first intro to Porsche, I think the first one I ever drove was a 996. So it was like a Cabrio. And from there, there's a lot of them that I've driven. A bunch of SCs from the six, from the I think I've driven one from the 60s,
yeah.
70s, 80s, yeah, 930s, 964, so many. But I'm saying, before I always wondered, I'm like, wait, why do they have so many models?
Mm.
And I didn't see the difference. I'm like, oh, yeah, the GT3 RS, that's like the pinnacle of the Porsche automotive name, pretty much. And I've gotten the chance to drive two of them now, and even those generations, so 997 and I think a 991, and they're amazing cars. But driving so many of them now, like, they all feel different in so many ways. Because, again, I still, wait, why does this model cost $300,000? And then in the same bracket, they have one that costs, like, $80,000 or something. And
Yeah, but you have a lot of stuff that doesn't come into play until you're going much faster.
True,
so
yes.
If you're street driving them, I don't think you would find that many differences.
No, but even basic street driving, I feel like I noticed the difference because I drove some of them like almost not back to back, but like weeks from each other. So I can kind of like the 99. I'm trying to talk about models. People might not know what I'm talking about, but they feel mostly. A lot of them feel kind of similar, but like you're saying, like you don't really know the exact difference until you're doing crazy cornering, insane speeds, all these things. So the GT3 RS, I did notice the suspension. That was definitely the harshest suspension.
Very harsh.
Very harsh. And so that was the one take from it. But also the engines, the sound of the engine, and all of that. Because you have Porsche turbos, 911 turbos. Those are like the GT cars. They're very fast, but they're like GT cars. And so that one feels soft and all of that. But there's so many iterations of the Porsche. But the point that I was like, initially, like what brought me this topic was for what you're paying, because Porsches are not cheap, regardless of anyone that you get.
I think they're still the best value.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
They're
definitely not
cheap.
But
they're still by far the best value.
I don't know. Like, no, no.
You don't think so?
No, because, like, I feel like they're so, even the difference between a 996, your version, and, like, a 991, honestly, drivability is not that much, to me, at least. To me, this is just a me thing. I wasn't going extreme speeds. I was just doing little by little.
It's so much nicer. Like, the
material
nicer.
I think it's pretty safe to say that the levels of refinement in the evolution is noticeable.
Mm.
Plus, the thing's violently fast.
True.
Even its most base version.
That is true.
Yes. Like,
yeah, I bet you a fucking base 991 Carrera is probably better than made it a significantly better car. If not outright performance, but drivability for the everyman.
Every person. Yes. The sound? No. The 996 GT3 sounds so much better.
It sounds savage. So if you're driving it all day, every day,
yeah,
it's like that thing would be butter.
Mm-hmm. True. But
and still have similar levels of performance as the GT3.
That is very true.
Not the modern GT3, but...
Yeah, I kind of agree. But for that price, like, there's so many, I feel like, options that you could get. Like, there's so many. Let's go with 996. How much would it cost right now?
30?
$30,000.
Probably about 30 grand.
Grand for a decent one. Okay. To 40.
So you get 350Z for... Stick with me here.
Come on, man. There's too many factors in this conversation.
Okay, well, give me some.
Curb appeal.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty valuable, you know, trait when you're considering what to own.
Yeah.
Depreciation. When you're buying that car for 30 grand, it's at the bottom of its depreciation curve.
So
it's actually bounced back. It's actually increased in value because we bought them previously, like, what, 5-6 years ago for 15, 18 grand. The 350Z is not bouncing back. Like, it's not coming back.
No, I don't think it's not going to bounce back.
No.
But
like, you'd have to have a Nismo that nobody drove for 20 years to see any value. But any of these other clapped out ones, 100,000K on it, it's going to be $2,500 in two more years.
Okay, so curb appeal, is a big part of an ownership experience. But can normal people tell the difference? Because I feel like we need to have a non-car enthusiast on this podcast sometimes.
Okay.
Because
Porsches are universally recognized by everybody. So you don't even have to know specifically what model, what anything. You just see the crest and you're like, oh shit, this guy's got a Porsche. That's it.
That is very true.
Like, it's everybody knows what a Porsche is.
Yeah.
It's like immediately if you have a Porsche, people just think you got dope.
Yeah,
and
so
you don't even have to have a good one. It's just like, oh man, he's got a Porsche. And they assume, the weird thing about Porsches is everybody only remembers the brand new price.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's like right away, like, oh shit, that's an expensive car. And you're like, well, no, not anymore.
Cheaper than a Camry.
Cheaper than a Camry, more fun, but they assume that it's still $150,000.
I feel like it's the same thing with, like Astons, Bentleys.
Bentleys for sure.
Crazy.
People go wild for Bentleys.
Yeah.
Like, I've driven Bentleys and like you put the key on the table, you can have a 2002 that's like 35 grand and people are like, oh shit, Bentley.
Yeah.
Oh, and the lone lady like, oh my god, I've never seen one of those before. And you're like, this thing's like 35K. Your CRV EV is like 110. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I feel like that should be another topic. I'm gonna write that down. But cheap luxury cars, are they a great deal or terrible?
So
I'm gonna save that one for later because I feel like you could go down a whole list of.
It's like one of the worst cars.
For Porsche's reputation, like you mentioned, like everyone knows what a Porsche is. So that whenever you're buying a Porsche, regardless of how cheap it might be, that perceived reputation of it being a Porsche is still there.
Yeah.
So does that stand, but like, again, with my earlier question, does that stand with just car enthusiasts, your, like, wife or siblings or all of that, like, do they?
I'd say it carries more value in the general public than it does within car enthusiasts.
Really?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay. Because everybody knows Porsche, they love Porsches, but you can have a Boxster, and they'll still think you're ballin'. But within the car community, you'll be immediately dismissed because you have a Boxster.
You know, the base model.
Yeah, it's like everybody's like, oh my god, the Boxster.
Yeah.
But you drive it home and the lady next door is like, oh man, you got a Porsche. Like, wow. That must have been expensive. You're like, no, it was $4,500. Like,
yeah. And so let's talk about what makes the engineering or Porsches so good. Let's take away that it's a Porsche for like a few minutes. So if you were just to approach it as a car, a sports car, what about driving a Porsche or a Porsche makes it so good without the name?
I don't think there's another platform on the planet that has received as much engineering and development
single person in the world told him that it was a sucky idea. Can you imagine the will of that guy? He's like, you know what?
I'm gonna show y'all.
Yeah, and he did.
That is pretty cool. But it's also interesting because I'm like, if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, a car with the engine at the back does not follow convention. Everything else has the motor at the front. And so, which is also interesting because naturally it would have some drawbacks, like weight transfer, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've driven, like you used to have an older 911, you've driven older 911s.
Yep.
Is there a big drivability difference, or like the way they handle weight transfer and all of that compared to the new ones?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's fairly significant.
It's really significant.
Yeah,
very significant. The 911 SC as the example for me, it was a lot heavier feeling in the back. The front end feel was really, really light, almost effortless, and it would push. Like, you actually had to approach your driving, the dynamics of driving, in a much, much more opposing way than you would for any other car. The way you enter a corner, how you come off brakes, on throttle, and all that through corners is entirely different than it would be in any other car. It's a weird sort of pendulum effect.
Yeah, and you don't have that driving the new ones?
It's not near as noticeable, but even in my Cayman S, I noticed the difference between a full tank of gas and a low tank of gas.
Yeah.
Just having that amount of weight over the front. If there was nothing there, it was vastly different driving experience.
Yeah, that's a very real thing too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you guys, like they've been developing cars for the same car for 75 years. I think I saw a picture of on Michelin of like the tires from like the first port, like a 356 or something.
Like 5 inches wide. Like a 355 or something.
It's so big. Yeah. And it's like just the way cars have evolved since then. And so obviously if you're developing a car for that long, you have so much heritage, so much things. And Porsche, they race, like they have a lot of racing pedigree.
I think they have more than pretty much anybody.
Mm-hmm. They have probably the biggest pedigree in the whole world.
And they're in so many different sanctioning bodies.
Yes, everything.
Like everything.
Everything.
Like right from parking lot racing to Le Mans. Like mm-hmm. They have a car everywhere.
Yeah.
And they always have.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
And like being at the Porsche Museum, I think they own all their race cars from like the beginning.
You've been to the Porsche Museum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a really cool experience.
That's cool.
Like they, I think I'm pretty, somebody might tell me I'm wrong, but I think they own every factory Porsche race car that's ever existed.
That's crazy.
And it's still in the museum.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. All of that information the entire time.
You know, what's another cool thing about the museum is that every single car that they got there, they make it run. Runs.
That's sick. That's cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. But, like, in general, Porsches have, so much heritage that makes it, and I feel like that also adds to the value of it, but also they've had so much time that even though the earlier cars, like I remember the 930, driving a 930, and I had so much of a preconceived notion of what it was going to feel like. If you guys do not know, a 930 was the Widowmaker. It had turbos. It was the first 911 with turbos, right? Was it? Did they have the 935
was before the 930.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, I don't think it was a street car.
No. Okay, yeah, it wasn't
a street car.
No,
930 Turbo, I believe, was the first production one.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, I feel like I was more scared that it was going to kill me when I was driving it as opposed to what it actually felt like. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh shoot, every time I go into a corner and try to floor it, I'm like, this is probably going to spit me out of the other side of the road.
It's a very unique driving experience. Like, we did have that one here in the shop, and I was fortunate enough to take it through our little neighborhood, not like a real drive, but the turbo spool up on it was absolutely horrendous.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So by modern standards, the acceleration just isn't there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think we're numb to it, but at the time that car came out, it probably caught a lot of people off guard.
Yes.
Yeah, because that pendulum effect of the weight coming around the, into the corner and around, and it's trying to turn you around, and while you're waiting for the turbo lag to end and for the thing to spool up, I mean, I think that's why the Widowmaker became a thing, because you would just
difference too in that turbo, because now all Porsches are turbo, like the 911, base 911s are all turbocharged, and so the power delivery in them is crazy. Have you guys done the So how did that feel compared to?
Well, the delivery is completely different,
so
because
crazy.
You can feel almost no turbo lag.
Yeah.
Like it's so smooth and seamless that if you didn't tell me it had a turbo in it, I probably wouldn't have known.
Yeah, it's almost
like
it's almost indistinguishable. You can't even really tell.
Yeah.
But I think they were the first to bring variable vane turbos to market too.
Oh.
To eliminate that lag.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So yeah, they've had a lot of development, and so daily drivability, like they are pretty practical too. Like they have back seats technically.
Dude,
technically.
The fact that when you buy a Porsche, you have to try to find one with low miles is a testament to what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like
Ferraris, it's not an issue.
No.
You look at a Ferrari, you got to dig hard to find one with over 50,000K.
Mm-hmm.
When you're buying a Porsche, you got to find one with less than 150,000K because people drive the shit out of them.
They still have problems, though. Like, don't they have reliability issues? Because, yeah, like your 996 has had...
No
issues. Come
it literally
on.
Affected something crazy, like less than 3% of all cars produced.
If you're
going to
talk about the IMS,
it only affects.
It's like a myth, like a scare tactic myth.
Because if you look at the amount of actual units produced that had problems that came back, it's like very, very, very small.
Yeah.
And then the only other one significant Porsche thing that I can think of is bad cylinder.
So the 996 and 997, both IMS, it was a thing, and then the cylinder linings, so bore scoring was another thing, but like, so, and this is just another one of those kind of things. If you know how to drive your car, you just gotta drive it different than you would any other car. So like, you'll see me when you know, work's over, I get in my car and I start driving like instantly. I'm just like, I'm already getting up to speed, I'm trying to warm the engine up as fast as I possibly can, keeping the RPMs below 3,000, just to try to get the cylinders and everything up to temp.
Because the worst thing you can do to a Porsche is let it warm up.
Yeah, if you just sit there idling, it'll take you way longer for it to warm up, and then that's when you're going to get the wear on the cylinders. It's just a different thing. So if you know how to approach it, these issues that scare everybody, they're not really issues.
And proper maintenance, proper products, all that kind of stuff. You're not going Jiffy Lube to get it. They have additives and specific oils to help prevent all those
things.
Yeah,
that's right.
But, so let's go back to the topic about price.
Okay.
Again, they are expensive. Like, it just blows my mind that they don't lose value. Like, they almost don't lose value. And I'm like, it's an amazing car, no doubt, but... To me, at the prices that even 997s are these days, like they've creeped into the 40,000 range, and I'm like,
they're more than
No, I'm talking of U.S. Okay, sorry,
you
Canadian.
You're talking
60,
U.S.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, damn, where do you see that, man? I'll go get it today.
But for that price, Porsche 911, early 2000, 2005 to 2010, 11-ish, like. I know of some cars that drive, like, personally, that I've driven that drive better than the 911, like, the base 911s, but still.
Which car?
Alfa Romeo 4C. It doesn't, like, that is a fantastic driver.
That's a track car. That is not a daily driver car.
Yeah,
no.
How much does that car cost?
It's like in the 40s, 50s, US.
It's like 80 grand now. We did one when it was brand new. The thing's carbon monoxide, which is like a shell. It's got brutal road noise. Super fun to drive, but I would say it's akin to a track car, like almost a track car in comparison to a Porsche.
I do agree it was less daily drivable.
And all the stuff inside of it was literally
plastic,
out of a Hyundai.
From
a Hyundai.
That was why
it came to us is because he wanted to put a, what did we do? We did a bunch of panels, interior panels.
Yeah, interior.
We did the console, all in Ferrari peanut butter letters because the thing was literally like... plastic with like Hyundai switchgear.
But there's carbon everywhere. It looks amazing. Like, I feel like it looks way more exotic than a 997 or a 99 whatever.
You know what? You can't deny that. Like,
it's a cool
car. Italians really have it dialed when it comes to like car design. Like, they're freaking
so factor is there.
And it has like a Toyota motor in it.
No, it has a Fiat motor in it. It's like
Fiat. I thought it was
the same
Celica based.
No, it's the same motor. Oh no, that's the Lotus. This one it has a Fiat motor in it, so it's interesting. It had the same motor as the Abarth, the 500s, those tiny ones. Same motor, but just in the back, and they added more boost and all that crap. But
I do say that the exhaust note from the 4C, even factory, sounds pretty
so
freaking
nice.
Incredible.
Yes.
For it was an inline four turbo.
Mm-hmm, turbo.
It just sounds nice.
But it's like insane boost, like 40 pounds of boost or something insane like that.
Getting in and out of it, pain in the ass.
True.
Not cool.
Isn't that the same with the Porsche? Getting in and out of it.
No,
it's not graceful.
Man, no. Porsche door opens almost 90 degrees. You can get out of that thing like nothing.
True. The Alfa, the door sill was kind of really wide.
It's like a Lotus.
Yeah, because
it's
a carbon monocoque.
You can't look cool getting out of that thing. No, man. It's almost the exact same as the Lotus Elise. It's like the same sort of thing.
Another car that's better to drive than a base 911.
Better to drive, but not better to drive.
I think it's better. Lotus, any Lotus. Lotus Exige. Evora is kind of a GT, but I feel like that competes more with the 911 because it's more daily drivable. The Exige and Elise are mostly just sparse and cheap things, but it's also... I love, like, those cars to drive.
I've never driven one, but I really would love
to. They're fun to drive.
Yes.
But they're not near as nice inside.
But the 996s and 7s are not nice, though. They're not.
They're not bad.
They're not very nice.
What are you talking about?
They're similar. 996s and 7s, they're almost identical.
The interior is entirely different.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a more exotic... No,
it's for sure more exotic.
And to drive, it just...
Yeah, they're awesome. But as a daily driver,
yeah.
I don't know.
Let's talk about what it would be like to put 240,000 kilometers onto one of those. Daily drive it for 240,000 kilometers and tell me how nice it is.
Yeah, so I don't know about the what's it called, the Alfa, but... The Evora, I don't know if it'll... I haven't driven that for a very long distance,
it's basically a track car.
No, the Evora is the GT.
It's
like
the big one.
It's the big one. Like,
but it's still expensive. It's not cheap.
No, it's like
it's
50.
Not in the same
it's
range.
Like 50 US.
I don't think you're... I think you're wrong.
Maybe it's gone up since last time. It's like 40s, 50s. Go to cars.com.
We're going
to
fact check you.
Oh, quick. My gosh. But, yeah, so that's another car that I'm like, that it might be... What about the BMW M3s? Aren't they? I think a BMW M3 is a better driving. It's an amazing driving car, the BMW M3, and I would say that it is pretty much you can make it just as fun, or it is just as fun as driving a Porsche.
Cool,
it is not as cool. That is true. So,
well, I mean, I can't deny the fact that a BMW M3 would be it's a fantastic car.
Yeah. Different feeling because engine in front,
it's entirely
engine in
different.
The back.
It's an entirely
all
different
that,
thing.
But
you're evoking different emotions.
Yeah, but
even by just looking at it.
True, but again, back to like the original.
Cheapest available Evora.
Yeah.
Is $86,000.
Canadian.
That thing breaks down. It's gonna be 7 months before you can drive it again.
That's true.
Yeah.
Porsche. There's a Porsche dealership in every little town.
No. The Lotus. Then I'm thinking about it. Lotus has a Toyota motor in it. So.
But you can't take it to Toyota. You have to take it to Lotus, and you're gonna be waiting.
No, but you still use Toyota parts. You do it yourself. Take out the part you need to replace.
Yeah. Not many people are interested
doing
in doing
it
that.
Do it
get
yourself.
Out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Get out of here. That's not part of the conversation.
You do it yourself. No, I'm just
that's
saying.
Like a cost of ownership thing. It's going to be like if we had a 430 Ferrari, it's going to be vastly different from you to me. So you can't base your argument on your own personal abilities.
That is true.
Because I can own a Bentley cheap.
True.
You take it in, it's like, oh, the infotainment system's $14,000. Like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, that is true.
For the same money, you can get a 4S that'll kick the shit out of your little
what
thing.
4S?
Any Porsche 4S.
No! That same...
Okay, you're taking your 4C to Whistler in January?
Yes.
No, you're not.
I will send it.
You will not send
I
it.
Will.
You won't even get out of the driveway. You got 4 inches of ground clearance and two-wheel drive.
Okay, let's go with
plus, I don't think your wife would want to roll with you.
How do you keep that thing warm? It's single-layered carbon. You fucking freeze your ass off in it.
That's for future me. Doesn't...
We're talking about drivability. You're talking about driving experience in a very a singular experience.
What about the rear-wheel drive Porsche? Like taking your 996 or a rear-wheel drive 997 versus those
outstanding.
And again, I like Porsches. Just for these things. I like Porsches, but the fact that there's just so many more, a few, not so many. There are some other cars out there that can do, to me at least, what I would want the car to do, which is drivability type things.
What
better?
Yeah, yeah, track type things, not drivability type things.
The fun of getting into something and you're like, I don't know, and you feel the fun and the emotion and all of the things and the steering. Oh,
I don't disagree. It would be a fun car to drive.
Yeah.
Would I want to drive it every single day? No.
For what it is it held in too much of a, like, oh, it's a Porsche?
I don't think so.
I don't.
It encompasses everything. Like, you can go right to the top of the end and have this crazy supercar, or you can be chatting with some dude working on your 911 SE at home.
But
you know what? The Porsche 911, all the way from inception, like, was always the car that can do it all. Like, you can go grocery shopping in it. You can go out on a date in it. You can go to the racetrack in that very same car.
If you go on the Porsche forums, people will help you. And I've had to go on the Ferrari forums, and, like, right away, they're like, no, don't touch it. Call Peter. They're like, who's Peter? Peter's the only guy that's allowed to touch it. So it's like the community behind it is way, way better, too.
You see so many of them.
Yes.
And they're so good.
They're just so good. You see them being driven all the time. And that speaks volumes in itself.
That's true.
You don't hear anybody complaining about them.
That is true. I guess, yeah.
Like, when was the last time you heard somebody complain about it? You hear people complain about Ferraris, Aston Martins, all these different things. Porsche guys, I don't never hear anything bad about it. All I hear is like, holy shit, it's amazing. I just put the key in and I go.
Yeah.
Plus, maybe on the new stuff, I'm not that familiar because I haven't owned anything new. You don't hear people getting just completely outright robbed by the dealership. Like, I don't think it's cheap, but I don't think you hear as many, like, just horror stories where you go to pick your car up and it's $27,000. I don't hear much of that. And we have a lot of Porsches around, and we have lots of people to have an opportunity to talk shit, and I don't like anybody that talks shit.
But what about the new stuff? Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but what about the new stuff? Like, it is so overpriced. Like, every dealer you go, for example, the 911, what's the new one they just launched? The ST, is it?
Yeah, ST.
ST, that everyone is raving about. Like, they're charging like $100,000, $200,000 over sticker for them. And you can't get it anywhere.
That's human nature.
Yeah, but
that's not the car.
Like, that's not Porsche putting those prices out there.
That's greedy people.
That's people making the market what it is.
Yeah.
We talk really highly about Porsches here because we've all driven them. We've owned them. You know, we love them for everything that they represent. There are plenty of other cars out there that evoke a much more stronger, you know, passionate emotion. Like, when you look at certain cars, you just light up, you get tingly. Porsches don't really do that too much.
Unless you're a car guy.
Yeah.
Well, most people can't differentiate between a regular one and a GT3 RS. It's like, oh, that one has a wing on it.
Yeah.
But if you got a Lambo, people are like, oh, shit, that's a Lambo.
Say, like, if you had experience in a Porsche, when you do see something like a GT3 RS, you can't help but get tingly.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't know what it is and you've never had an experience, you don't really have anything to sort of, like, register it to. But, like, if you look at, say, something like a Lambo or a Ferrari or McLaren, any, like, really exotic car, you can just look at it and go, oh, my God, that's amazing.
You don't even need to know what it is.
Yeah. It just,
like,
looks insane.
It's like a spaceship.
Porsche almost doesn't really do that. So it almost doesn't do that.
I would say Porsche is a grown-up car. Like, it's, if you've tried everything else and you've driven it, like, a Porsche is probably the best at doing everything.
All of our customers that have, you know, Lambos and they've had all this exotic shit, the one thing that they all still have is a Porsche.
I do want a Porsche, though, so I need to join the Porsche club.
Porsche gang, man.
Because it is.
It's a good club, man.
But not all Porsches are expensive. Yes, as much as Porsche has the 911s, they also have the cheaper boys, the cheaper variant of every So what are you guys' thoughts on Caymans? Are they?
I love them.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I think they're great cars, too. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And so versus the 911, which one would you rather have? Which one drove better?
I would rather have my Cayman.
Really?
I love that car.
I think the Cayman is a better driving car.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some pretty sick cars. Yeah. That one is still the standout.
Mm.
Yeah. Because once I got it dialed, it was so good.
Yeah.
And you
could
drive it so fast.
The Cayman just lends itself to sort of like the every person. Like, you can get behind the wheel in that and just automatically feel like, yes, this is a car. And you feel confident when you drive that car. The 911, the newer 911s, like even my 996, I can get behind the wheel. Anybody could and feel confident. But the Cayman feels more balanced.
So would
it feels better to drive.
But it falls into the previous one. It's within that range.
Yes.
Where it's not overly aided. And it's just fun to drive. And it's fast. And it's reliable. I never had problems with mine.
So would you say the Cayman is a better value than a 911?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you want just a good driving car.
Mm-hmm.
All
the
time
Cayman
driving.
Falls into that, like, Boxster kind of thing.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, you don't have a real 911.
Mm.
Which is unfortunate, because it's a great car.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that anybody that truly knows, that actually drives, all know deep down, like, Cayman's are much better.
Yeah. Every Cayman that I've driven, I would take a Cayman compared to the 911 based on just value.
I would love to get a GT4.
It drives so good.
The
GT4 RS Cayman.
Yes, I would do the RS, but the GT4, you would want to swap out the gears and the diff, because it's tall. The first and second, it's like you're doing 100 and something in second gear.
Yeah.
So, yes, I feel like that would make it perfect. But I think, like the Caymans, I prefer the way they drive to the 911s.
Yeah.
And then what do you guys think of the other Porsches? Because I want to just touch on the rest of them. Yeah, Boxers, Boxers.
First gen Boxster is, I know why they built it, but they shouldn't have. But, I mean, it's a cool car. Like, if you're, it's a woman's car. I'm sorry.
I know, but
it's a hairdresser's car.
That's sadly the stereotype that comes along with it, but it's supposed to be a good driving car. I've never driven one.
Have you driven one?
I've driven an OG box.
So it was a 2.4.
It was a little underpowered, but it still was a fun car because inside it was all Porsche. Seats, dash, door panels, shared it with another platform, so it felt very Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like an underpowered Porsche.
Mm.
Yeah. And the styling cues in that first generation Boxster were they were very, very subtle. They were very, let's say, pastel egg, they looked like an Easter egg. they weren't very cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could get really creative nowadays and get wild with it if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
It'd be a great car to get into if you were like a Porsche fan and you're like limited budget.
Get a box.
Perfectly fine.
Like less than 10 grand.
Do a motor swap to a more modern Porsche engine.
Who's doing a build? We're going off topic, but who's doing a build on one? Like they're taking the body. No, is it Crucible?
Oh,
yeah.
There's lots of like, I think Vail does one. Mm-hmm. I think Miles Works is doing one. Like big rebodies on them.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool. Because you can get into that platform for a really reasonable price then.
Yeah,
with some power adders, some mild investment, you can get into some. You can have a really awesome car.
And then what do you guys think about Cayennes? Cayennes.
Oh, man, we do so many Cayennes.
I think we're big Cayenne family.
Yeah.
I think there's three of them on the team now.
Three.
There's three
now.
And
yeah.
We make some parts for it. It's a great platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we make the lift kit for it. And
so
we used to make them two bumpers and stuff for them. But
so that's a real Porsche then? Because some Porsche enthusiasts are like, apart from the 911, there's no other Porsches.
Yeah.
Those people are a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like the Cayennes as well.
Cayenne's a nice vehicle. It's
like
a nice vehicle. It drives great.
Like a tremendous value for what it is.
Yeah.
Like I don't think you can get anything better as a value.
No. Like, even on the used market, the first and second gens are so good. Like, they're amazing value. And you can... Do they have locking diffs?
Yeah. As long as you stay away from the V8 ones, then you're good.
Mm. Yeah. If you get, like, even the first gen... VR6 engine powered Cayenne, like what my wife drives, it It's fantastic.
I love the way that thing sounds.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's a great vehicle.
Yeah.
And, like, the price point on entry and ownership on that is so
amazing.
They're almost a fool not to have one.
Yeah. And, of course, there's other Porsches. The Taycan.
Yeah, Taycan. That's all.
Yeah. What do you guys think of our
Even apparently that
stuff.
Thing as an EV vehicle is supposed to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I heard the build quality, of course, is Porsche is amazing.
Yeah.
Compared to Teslas and all that, it's EV, but still, I think Taycans are sick.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking car. If you're going to drive an EV car, it's pretty awesome.
Panamera?
I didn't like that early Panamera.
I don't like the early ones.
The new ones
are fucking sick.
And then the wagon version is savage.
That is a sick car.
Yes. I've never driven one. I would love to.
Yeah, me neither.
I would imagine it must feel amazing on the highway.
Yeah,
it's a big car.
It's a big, big car. And it must just feel fucking glorious.
And the early ones, I think, are good values, too, because you can get them for, like, 25, 30 grand.
Exactly, though.
I know. That's the trade-off of would you not care about looks and just go for the performance instead?
Mm.
Like, because they have, like, the V8s are not as reliable, but, like, the V6s and VR, I think, did they have VR6s?
Jeez, I don't even know.
Like, never really followed.
I never did either.
Until the new ones.
Yeah. The new ones look so much nicer. Yeah.
Yeah,
the old ones.
The Macans are pretty cool.
Oh, the Macans are nice. Yeah.
A little smaller
SUV.
Yeah.
But like they're fast, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're
good value ish too.
They're comparable to everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
I had to choose between a 4Runner and a Macan, I'd have them all day.
Any day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. So there are a lot of good value Porsches that are available, especially on the used market. The new ones are kind of expensive. Like, I look at, like, the Turbo S's, like, the Cayenne Turbos and all those, like, $150,000
Just the way, like, a Ford F-150 is $150,000.
That's true.
So if I got to choose, you know where I'm going.
But that 911s, I still think that they are a little bit overpriced, but they are amazing cars in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. I think the cost of ownership makes up for it.
Yeah. And the fact that they are that price also shows that people will pay that for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worth it.
You can almost drive one for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get the right one, you can drive it for a year or two and get very close or to more than what you paid for it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a very unique sort of thing.
Because a lot of them have hit the bottom of their depreciation curve and flatlined. So you can buy it, experience it, and get out of it for very little money.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There's a lot of other cars, like your Evora, you're going to get kicked in the nuts.
No, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I think, anything else?
Buy a Porsche. Get at least experience it once in your life.
So bad. So
yeah, just buy a Porsche. Save your money. Buy a Porsche. It doesn't have to be the latest and greatest. Drive the shit out of it and figure it out. Like, it's awesome.
This is the end of the topic, but where do you even go from a Porsche? Because I feel like you have a 911 now, so where do you go from there? Like, it's
I
already
think it's
so
very
good.
Much like what you say. There's much more exotic driving experiences, more defined driving experiences.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like a 4C or